So we are honoured to have on the podcast this week a legend of the British wrestling scene, TNA superstar, Mr. Drew Galloway. How are you doing, my friends?
Oh, even better. I mean, it's 9 a.m. right now. After that introduction, I'm feeling pretty good.
We've done some podcasts in some weird and wonderful places in our time. We've sat in the House of Commons podcasting. We did one with Marty Scull a few weeks ago. We sat in City Hall where Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London, has presides, and we've done podcasts there. But this is the first for us, a breakfast meeting. So thank you for getting up so early.
This is our own version of Breakfast with Blessy. Breakfast with Galloway.
Breakfast with Galloway. So how are things? How's things going? What are you up to?
Things are going spectacular right now. Like, as I say, it's 9 a.m. right now. I've got my little morning voice, so I apologise if I'm a bit rough. But things are going incredible. I could not be happier in my life and career right now. I set myself some big goals and already surpassed them times a thousand, thanks to a lot of people believing me and giving me opportunities. And every day I have to set a new goal because things just keep happening, and it's an exciting time for me and exciting time for wrestling.
I just want to clear something up before we go forward. We are having breakfast. We are in a restaurant. I just want to clear up who's paying, because did you get your TNA paycheck this time?
So I did.
All right, so breakfast on
I've
you.
I've been reading a lot about that, but no, I've been receiving my check just fine.
Talk about TNA, the numbers on Destination America, like they put out a press release saying it's been brilliant, they seem to fluctuate. Do you think TNA can get over the 1 million mark? Is that a realistic expectation for TNA?
Absolutely. Things have already gone so incredible, and just the sheer fact the network is so strongly behind the product, it's just something that drew me to the company. Initially, the opportunity to be part of something on the ground floor and help build it. I mean, things have just started. We've literally just got the ball rolling, and that was something that, that drew me right in. I was like, wow, I could, come in here, really help make a difference. And when we get there, and we will, I could say, wow, I was part of something, help it grow. So absolutely 100%. Everyone's so driven and passionate. I'm over the top obsessed myself, and it's cool to see people just as obsessed and be surrounded by that, because it's infectious. And also, I know I'm not a weirdo for being so obsessed.
So we saw you last night at ICW. This is part of, I think, a lot of TNA wrestlers are doing now, working the indie scene as well, at the same time. What does that mean to you, going back and doing the British indie scene?
Oh, it means the world. When I first started, I was 15. I travelled near here, actually, to Portsmouth and Fratton, trained with Mark Sloan at the FWA. And that's how I got my start. There was nothing in Scotland at the time, and there was a guy who wanted to get something started in Scotland, an adult basically, I was 15. So he started an area, put some money into, training people. Yeah. He didn't know anything. He takes credit for training people, but I was basically showing the guys what I was learning down here, and then slowly but surely we started adding guys who are modern, big stars in Britain right now. I'd show them what I was learning, and that was the beginning of Scottish wrestling. And to be one of the founding fathers of the modern-day Scottish wrestling scene, I like to say, is it's such a cool thing, because, being the first ICW champion and having 50 people at the show and making my return, the first place I came back to was ICW, and I don't know if you saw the video, it went viral when I came back, and the lights went out, came on, I took the hood off and I looked around, I just remember the empty Maryhill Hall in Glasgow and 50 people, and then pulling the hood off and seeing 1,500 crazy fans going mental. I just literally went, what the heck? The poor guys I was punching as well, I felt so bad for us. It was a shot of adrenaline to the heart. Every punch probably felt like a baseball bat to the face.
Was it difficult coming back to ICW? Was it all natural, or was it hard coming back after so long? Was there resentment in the locker room, or was it a different model? Did you have to get used to it? Was it hard?
No, it was just a duck being allowed to go back in the water and do your thing. Just initially when I was gone, everybody left and right was contacting me to work for them. Mark Dallas was the one who didn't, and I contacted him, and he said, you're my friend, I didn't, weren't sure if you were upset or not. Yeah. Like, to give you some time. I was like, yeah, well, if I was, I'd probably be annoyed because everyone else did. But I said, here's my plan, I've been thinking about this for a while, got this vision in my head, and it's pretty big vision, and it starts with ICW. I want to get out there, get my mission statement out there, and let the world know, this is Drew Galloway, this is what I'm about, and this is what I'm going to do. And, it was cool just being able to go out and people being so receptive to me being me, and that's what I've stuck to since then. I've just been myself everywhere, and that includes TNA.
And it seems to come full circle in TNA as well, when at the Hydro you came out and we saw you save the day. What was that like in front of the Glasgow fans?
I'll ask you a question. So, you're in the biggest arena in Scotland, in the main event. Errol Hebner's the ref. Nobody knows you're there. You sign the contract just there, so literally nobody knows you're there. You come out, save the day for Grado, like one of Scotland's biggest heroes right now. How would it feel?
Well, we were there. We were sat there, and it was incredible. Oh. We were going mad when it happened.
Lost my mind. Like I was running to where I was like, there's fan footage. You can see it's a bit grainy, but you can see when I'm running to the barricade. I don't know if you remember those barriers. They're almost 5 feet high. Yeah. I ran and I hurdled it. I've never hurdled in my entire life. You know, I can jump really high in the ring, but for some reason I don't have a very high vertical leap, but yeah. I was so amped up, I hurdled that. I almost caught my foot. And I got in the ring, I was just amped out of my mind. Loki caught a little shot to the head, and then.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, my goodness, that was just some feeling, just to see the reaction of the crowd, and for Errol Hebner at the end of the night to raise myself and Grado's hand, and Grado, who came and watched me when I was 16 doing shows, he was there as a fan.
Yeah.
As Grado, because Grado is not a character, Grado is Grado.
Yeah, absolutely.
In real life, and just looking at him and saying, Errol Hebner's raising our hand in the last image in the Hydra, this is pretty cool. Like, both of us just like, what is going on? We're just two guys from here.
And the promo you did at Wembley in the crowds was something special as well.
It was awesome. That was TNA allowing me to be myself and giving me freedom to, you know, do what I feel is right. I started in Manchester the night before. I did a promo where I walked through the crowd.
Okay.
Again, just kind of spoke my mind, and I remember I started asking fans like their names at one point. Like, that was like on the fly. Like, that wasn't in a script or anything. You see me just asking the guy, if you watch it back, you'll see me ask the guy his name, and he says it, and I say, screw it, just say it in the mic, boom. And it was just like on the fly, and just like they let me just go with how I feel. And the next day I was like, you know, I'm speaking as a fan, because I'm the biggest, you know, smart mark, I'm the biggest wrestling fan in the world, and it felt cool to do it from the crowd, because I'm speaking from a fan's perspective, because I'm a fan. I said, I want to be in the crowd again. And they were like, oh, you know, we'd rather you come out for the entrance stuff, you're part of the roster, which I was like, that makes sense. I'm going to jump in the crowd. And, like, again, that was just allowing me to the freedom to be myself, just, you know, working with me. Like, you know, we like this image of you coming out, part of the roster, which absolutely makes sense. But they allowed me that creative freedom to, you know, say, I feel like I'd like to be in the crowd and speaking from a fan's perspective. I think that'd be a cool image. And, you know, it felt really cool to have everyone around me, especially, you know, in the UK. You know, just seeing how I feel on international, worldwide TV again.
It feels very true, like, to you as a person. It comes across that way. It's very believable. Have you had creative input then, or it sounds like you have, into that whole storyline, into the rising?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they've been great. Like, all the guys are so creative, from the writers, the bosses, social media guys, just everybody in TNA is so driven and has such cool, unique ideas, and like I've seen what I've been doing and just being myself, and that's pretty much where it came from. And they just throw a cool idea at me and allow me just to, you know, take it and run with it and tweak it and make it my own. And that's really cool to have that freedom, because this is all I know, all I've ever known. And, you know, if you allow me to be myself, then, you know, you're going to get the most from it. If it works, it's kind of on me. If it fails, it's kind of on me, but at least it'll always be on me.
The Rising, obviously, is being in another trio. But are we going to get to see Drew Galloway with a singles run? I mean, because I'd like to see you singles run all the way to the top. Is that your personal plan?
Right. Oh, absolutely. We've got a pretty cool thing going on right now. You know, there is a lot of factions going on right now, so, you know, that's one of the things. But it doesn't mean just because we're in a faction, you know, we're three guys, but we're also three individuals. We're still going to do our own thing, and the big goal is always the world title, 100%, especially someone like Kurt Angle holding the world title, someone I grew up watching, someone I pattern myself on. You know, everyone, you know, points out my aggression, intensity when I wrestle, etc. That guy is Mr. Intensity. Like, I cannot wait to wrestle him, and the idea that I get the opportunity to wrestle him for the world title. Currently, I have 5 titles on 3 continents. My goal is to be the first traveling world champion since Ric Flair. Right now, like, I have to keep setting new goals, but that's my new huge goal. And if I could get the TNA world title, I can really pull that off and show wrestlers now that, because of the social media age, you really can make a name for yourself. And I'm trying to be a pioneer right now for guys to show you. If you believe in yourself, if you're good enough, the cream always rises to the top.
So we like some dream booking. Who would you like to wrestle from either today or the past who you haven't wrestled?
Ooh. haven't wrestled. I would love to get the shot to wrestle Shawn Michaels, the chance to wrestle Shawn Michaels, 100%. He's the greatest in-ring performer just overall, who's unbelievable. And I was working with him at the time when I first was in WWE. Like, him and Triple H eliminated me for my first Royal Rumble. I remember being like, wow, that was pretty cool. I never got the chance to wrestle a singles match with him, which is unfortunate. And Bret Hart was always a hero of mine and a friend of mine now, which is bizarre to me because he was my favorite wrestler growing up. But you know, I'd love to get the shot to work him. But today, Kurt Angle, as I said, 100%.
There's a chance, me?
Sorry?
There's a chance that you could be?
Wrestle Kurt Angle?
Yeah.
Better be a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kurt Angle. That's the goal. I said, I'm not there just to make up the numbers. I'm there to eat them up. Kurt Angle's a top dog. Also, he's Kurt Angle. What else can you say about him? Like, that's,
well, no, he's a legend. Absolute legend.
He's 100% the man I want. And also, Bram, I'm coming for you. You've tried to duck me all the time. We're going to have Scotland versus England in America.
There's, I think I asked you about this actually in the 2.5 part. There was a series of promos for you on WWE in 2011 that kind of built you up, and then it just seemed to like to disappear. I think you said you were involved in those promos and you came up with the idea. I was interested what happened, like why it didn't kind of materialise into anything. Is it just the nature of that kind of company that...
Yeah, it's just the nature of the beast. Like, there's so much going on, like this. Like, you know how many shows there are and how many unique hours of television to fill, and there's so many guys. It's just, you know, some things stick, some things don't. It's just the nature of the beast, and it's that simple. You can let yourself go crazy about it, and you will go crazy, as a lot of guys do. Or you can just suck it up and move forward and trying to create something new, because that's, you know, the only way you're going to succeed and the only way you're going to keep your sanity in wrestling is by not letting everything get to you, because you will go insane.
Well, talking about that, what's the best rib that's ever been pulled on you or that you've pulled on somebody else?
Oh, goodness. I wish I knew this one in advance, because there's so many.
We've had some great ones over the years.
Al Snow got a goat from someone's from a farm nearby a hotel and let it into someone's locker room. Davey Richards took all of Daniel Bryan's stuff from his hotel room and put it in the bathtub.
The Rockstar Spud dancing, there's a video of that
doing the YMCA
we heard about. There's a video of it which we're desperate to get hold of.
Sure, it's floating around somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you give me an idea. There was one time, I was in Mexico City, and Fit Finley, who's a really good friend of mine, my mentor, found out that Hornswoggle had a bit of a fear of chickens. So they had Hornswoggle under the ring for myself and Chris Masters were having a match. So Masters had no idea what was going on. Like, I was in on the rib. Mm-hmm. And Hornswoggle's under the ring. I do my entrance. I'm waiting by the ring. Masters is doing his entrance, and I see the fella who had the chicken coming along and just throwing this chicken under the ring. So I'm lifting up the apron, dying laughing. And at the time, I'm like...
Poached eggs, guys. Poached eggs? Oh, no. So, listeners, we have our food arriving at the moment.
Food's arriving. It's good timing as well, when I'm talking about the funny story.
So
interrupt the story.
We'll come back to the
story. Raise yourselves to laugh.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. Yes. Oh, brilliant. I think we've got all the right orders. This is going to make a great part of the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes. The scrambled eggs and salmon right here.
I'm fine. Sauces.
I'm perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Archie. So go on, finish the story.
Where was I again? So generally, old Drew McIntyre, when he was coming out to the Broken Dreams theme, was a fairly intense individual. Like, that song was so cool and fired me up like crazy. And I'd be standing there just fired up, ready to go. And Masters comes out, you know, expecting me there, my war face on, whatever. And I'm just lifting up the apron, falling around and laughing. And I'm looking underneath the ring, and Swoggle's just running around. There's chickens, you know, running like a chicken runs. You picture in your head the head bobbing back and forth. And Swoggle running around like a maniac, trying to go in front. Knows he can't come out from under the ring. The chicken runs back out, guy's grabbing it, throwing it back under the ring. It's just terrorizing him. Masses is standing. There's a friend of mine. Sorry, Chris. Like, what's going on? I'm almost on the floor laughing my head off. Like, serious heel laughing his head off. But yeah, that was a pretty funny one.
Well, we're going to eat our breakfast. Thank you very much for your time this morning. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully catch up with you very soon.
Thank you for having me. It's been emotional. Let's eat.
Let's eat.